Assalamu alaikum everyone, I hope you're all doing really well, inshallah. Welcome back to another episode on the E-Muslimah podcast. I hope you're all having a really wonderful, lovely Ramadan, inshallah. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about nafs and what they are and how to purify ourselves from our nafs and how to kind of just make sure that we are not allowing our nafs to get the best of us. And so first of all, let's start by talking about connecting with our nafs. And what is our nafs? So the nafs is an inherent part of us as humans. It is a portion of our pure fitrah. So fitrah meaning our natural inclination. So nafs actually kind of comes from the soul. So it's your soul, it's your human person, it's your surroundings that kind of makes you have that positive perception or a negative perception on things and your actions and kind of how you view yourself. And it has the potential to kind of drive you towards doing good things, or it has the potential to drive you to do bad things. But again, it's a natural inclination, and it also kind of stems from your surroundings and stems from your experiences in life and how you view yourself as well. And that's where it comes from. So it comes from the soul. So again, it's a pure fitrah, it's a natural inclination. So again, the downside to your nafs is that obviously, because it's to do with your inner self, it can slowly, you know, take you towards being inclined to do evil. And it is our duty as people, as Muslims, to overcome our weakness when it comes to our nafs and win over its plots. And we can achieve this through cultivating a sound heart, one that submits and surrenders to Allah the Almighty. So again, it's really important that when it comes to our nafs, at the same time, we need to try and control it in a way that we are being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many ways that we can do that, and I'm going to be talking about a lot of them in this podcast. So let's get started. Based on like what we've faced in our lives and, you know, the experiences that we face that allows our soul to be naturally kind of like unconsciously inclined towards certain things, our soul in its true nature will direct us towards honesty and helping others, kindness to our parents and respecting them, and helping humanity. Like, we have that natural inclination to help. So that is a positive aspect of our nafs, that drive that kind of pushes us to do good. But of course, at the same time, a part of our nafs can obviously lead us to things such as cheating or arrogance, anything that's immoral or haram, and sometimes even abandoning worship. And with the whole point of nafs is that it can be conscious, but usually it's unconscious. So you kind of just do it because you have that natural inclination. You don't actually think about it. But that's the issue. That whole us not thinking about our actions, we actually need to take control over that and find ways to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to control our nafs and win against them. So a common misconception when it comes to nafs is that people kind of think it's just kind of one whole thing, but actually it's got different, you know, parts. So you've got the commanding soul, and then you've got your tranquil soul, okay? So your commanding soul can be something that kind of demands without even trying to think about what you're doing. So when the commanding soul overshadows your, you know, tranquil soul, you fall low, and then eventually you become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, while the tranquil soul has the potential to connect you strongly with Allah through worship and obedience and fulfilling your purpose of creation, it's really important that you're able to control your commanding soul and not allow it to take over your tranquil soul. And unfortunately, sometimes, especially the, you know, era that we live in, the society that we live in, our nafs can kind of allow us to make us feel like we have to be a certain type of person, or we need to try and fit in with society, and we need to try and reach the society's expectations. And there are so many things that can corrupt the pure nature of your soul. And that's like, for example, lack of knowledge. And I think that's really important that as Muslims, especially young Muslims, it's really important that as you're growing up, that you are fueling your mindset with knowledge that you can implement into your daily life. And I've spoken about this in so many other of my episodes where I talk about gaining knowledge and the benefits of gaining knowledge. So obviously, lack of authentic knowledge, meaning that, you know, from the Quran and the teachings and the hadith. Another thing is environment. So things such as like peer pressure, you know, cultural pressure, you know, especially as, you know, some of us Muslims, Muslims that we come from maybe like a South Asian background or a Middle Eastern background, or a background that obviously has traditions that might contradict with Islam. And that can be really difficult as well, because again, you're trying to fit into that environment and you might not realize that you are actually doing haram by kind of following certain traditions in our culture. Another one is weakness of faith. Now, this is like a really important aspect, because obviously if you have very low iman or even no iman at all, or you can actually feel your iman slipping away, then that is a big sign that your nafs are clearly are controlling you so much that it's driving you away from gaining that knowledge or gaining that motivation to become closer to Allah. And the last one is obviously desires. Now, desires can come from so many different things, but I guess the most common one in our society today is obviously from materialism. So allowing the desires of this dunya to take control over us, and it almost as if it feels like the motivation to kind of gain materialistic things in this dunya drives us more than the motivation needed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or gain knowledge of our faith, of Islam. So these are certain, you know, aspects that can corrupt, you know, the nature of our soul. So here are 10 ways that you can overcome your nafs. And again, I'm not a scholar, by the way. I'm not a scholar. You know, I'm not as nearly as knowledgeable as so many other people out there. However, I am in this journey with all of you that, you know, all of you that are listening. I am on this journey and I'm obviously doing my own research. But please do your own research before taking any of this kind of advice on. And again, I just want to say it's a big reminder to myself foremost before I share this with anyone. And again, we're all on this journey together. That's the whole point of this podcast, is that we're on this journey together and I can take you girls with me on my journey, and inshallah we can all strengthen our faith together and reap the rewards together, inshallah. Okay, number one, and that is constant purification. So increasing in your worship acts and strive for obedience of Allah at all times. It's important that we follow His guidance through the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith. We should prioritize with the compulsory acts such as performing our salah, fasting, and also, you know, just reciting our shahada again. I think that's such a big thing, reciting our shahada. Like, yes, alhamdulillah, we are all Muslim, but how often do we recite our shahada on our own time, in our own time? Like, how often is it that we kind of really reflect on the whole point of our shahada, and how often do we actually kind of sit there and think about our purpose as Muslims? So again, it's just making sure that you're able to stabilize your, you know, obligatory acts of worship, because our five obligatory acts of worship are there to, you know, remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can do this consistently, and you have to remember one thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who do good deeds, whether it's little or big, but that those good deeds are, you know, consistent and you are doing it regularly. Because if you are doing, you know, good habits and good things regarding Islam on a daily basis and you're doing it consistently, then it acts as a big reminder to yourself. So before you start to be inclined to do something haram, whether you realize it or not, at least in the back of your mind, you will have Allah. And at least in the back of your mind that you know throughout your daily routine, you need to pray your salah, you read your Quran. Even if it's like reading 2 pages of Quran a day, you know that that's what you're expecting to do. That's the expectation you have of yourself to achieve that every single day. So even though you might be inclined to do something haram or something wrong, then even though you're inclined to do it, you know that, okay, right, I'm going to use this as an example. Like, I'm going to be going to a party or something, nightclub or whatever, at this time. But I know that when I come back, I need to pray Fajr, right? So it's like having that, you know, constant and consistent acts of worship around that you've embodied and embedded into your daily routine that you're expecting to do. And when you're thinking like that, hang on a minute, what could actually happen is that you're thinking, right, I'm going to go to this nightclub, but actually I need to pray Fajr after. So in a way, you're being mindful of Allah because that's now part of your routine. That's what you're expecting to do. And also what that does is that can obviously act as a way of you stopping yourself going to the nightclub because you're aware that you need to pray Fajr after. So again, it's being mindful of Allah. Whereas if you just don't, you know, embed your 5 salahs throughout your day, then it just inclines you to just do more negative things. because then you're just going to be like, right, I'm going to go to that nightclub, then I'm going to sleep. Like, you're kind of not reminding, you're just not reminding yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, you don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your head to kind of act as this method, act as this strong force that's going to stop you from going to that nightclub or doing something haram. So basically, a whole summary of what I'm trying to say is that, you know, being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, foremost, it comes from your intentions, but it also comes from your five acts of worship, your five daily salahs. If you have that embedded into your daily routine, you know that you're expecting to do that. So again, because you're being mindful of Allah, because you're thinking to yourself, right, I need to do that, if anything, it can also help stop you from committing sin, because you're thinking, right, there's something good that I'm trying to do, I'm trying to do my salah, but then that might, you know, counteract the you know, bad deed that I'm about to do. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So it's really important that you kind of use that, being mindful of Allah, you're using that to stop yourself from doing sin. Number two, and that is conscious awareness. Now, your nafs is conscious, and as such, you have control over decisions you make that will impact your daily life and the hereafter. Therefore, it's really important that, you know, we're all conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times and make a choice to break free from the negative desires and inclinations. So actually, this kind of stems from number one, and that's obviously being, you know, constant, you know, constantly being purified and being constantly reminded of Allah. It's like the more you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that's through reels on Instagram or Islamic posts on, I don't know, Twitter or TikTok, and your salah and doing your Quran and speaking to your parents or your friends about Islam, doesn't matter what type of reminder it is, so long as you're reminded, it can also allow you to develop that quality of being self-aware and developing that, you know, whole idea of being consciously aware of your actions. Again, the more you can remind yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more likely you're going to be aware of your actions before you kind of take on that haram action. At least you'll be able to kind of stop yourself and be mindful of Allah. And let me just tell you this, this is not easy. Being self-aware of your actions and before you do them is not easy, because some of us can naturally just do it, like it's just part of what we do. And it's really important that we take time when it comes to thinking about the actions that we take. And it's really important, again, it's a big reminder to myself foremost, before you take on any action, stop yourself and be like, right, will Allah be happy with me? Will Allah be pleased with me? Will this take away the good deeds that I've done today? You know, how will this benefit me? And if you can see that there is no benefit in that deed, in that haram deed, don't do it. Again, it's not an easy process, but you have that control over yourself to kind of stop yourself. So for example, you might be somebody that does five different sins every single day. Like, it's a natural part of your routine. If you can defeat one of them at least every single day, that's better than nothing, right? And then eventually, inshallah, you'll eradicate two of them. You know, you'll stop three of them, and eventually you'll see that you've gotten rid of all five of them. It doesn't happen overnight. For some people, it might happen overnight. It might happen in a second. Allah knows best. But we can always put the effort in. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the condition of a believer until the believer changes what is in within themselves. So you have to remember, you need to put the effort in order for, you know, Al-Razak, the provider, Allah, for our provider to kind of provide the goodness that we are aiming to achieve, inshallah. Number three, and that is to avoid sins and anything that is prohibited. We have to remember that whenever we end up having an evil thought or evil speech that comes out of our mouths, or we commit an evil act, it's really important that we replace it with a good one afterwards. I've heard of this thing where it's like, if you commit a sin, then do three good deeds. So for example, you may have been drinking alcohol, which is obviously completely forbidden in Islam, but for example, you give charity, you help your neighbor, you teach somebody something beautiful about Islam. And obviously, remember, your good deeds will eventually counteract your bad deeds, you know, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to be really sincere in trying. That's the whole point about when it comes to controlling your nafs, is trying. You can't just expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just, you know, get rid of your temptations without you even trying and, you know, having that natural inclination to do well and to strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in terms of trying to achieve a good deed, you know, after committing a bad deed, is that you can achieve this through learning and seeking beneficial knowledge. And then, for example, in that way, you can then obviously compare the truth from the falsehood. You can actually identify the truth from any false information, and you can actually understand why things are prohibited in Islam. And that's the other thing, it's actually understanding why sin is a sin. I think most of us, and even I am guilty of this as well, some things I just, like, I know that I'm not going to commit it because Allah has, or obviously, inshallah, you don't ever know the future, but it's really important that we are striving to not commit any sin. But I'm not committing this sin because Allah has just told me not to do it. Like, it's forbidden. But I don't exactly know why. And I feel like that's a lot of us, and a lot of us do that. And obviously, some of you that may be listening can also relate to me on this one as well. We kind of just stay away from certain sins because Allah has told us that it's forbidden, but we never actually understand why. So again, doing your own research and gaining knowledge allows you to identify why sins are haram. Perhaps you can look at the hadith, or you can look at, you know, certain scholars that can, you know, really unpick different sins and why they are actually bad for us. When you eventually understand why a sin is actually bad for us, then not only will you, it will help you to kind of stray away from that sin, but you also uncover the mercy of Allah. Like, you really understand that Allah has only made things prohibited for us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and He cares for us, and there's nobody else that can care for us more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, it's having that positive perception. When you have that positive perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naturally your nafs will go towards being inclined to do the good things. Number four, and that is to remember that this life is a complete test. This life is temporary, and it is a test and a preparation for the ultimate abode, so the everlasting world and the hereafter. So when you think about it this way, which then is more worthy of striving for? Like, just ask yourself that question. And I think if I were to ask any of my, you know, dear Muslim sisters out there, and if I was to ask you, right, what would you like to go for? Would you like to strive for Jannah, the hereafter, or would you want the dunya? And I'm pretty sure nearly 100% of us, obviously being true Muslims, 100% of us will want Jannah. But then it's like, right, we want Jannah, we want to strive for Jannah, but then this is where you start reflecting yourself. You have to think, right, am I actually doing the deeds that will actually help me get to Jannah? Like, am I doing the best that I can? You have to remember that our worship, there's no limit to it. We need to keep striving and striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And you have to remember that it's all about trying. If you are trying in your worship, or you're trying to increase your good deeds, then naturally, like, you're gonna have that aim, and you're gonna want to have that strive and that energy to get to Jannah, inshallah. You know, there's a big difference between wanting something and then actually trying and allowing that to develop, that mindset where, okay, now I really, really want Jannah, right? So again, ask yourself that question and match your actions to your end goal. See if it's correlating. You know, and if it's not correlating, then clearly it's something that you need to kind of take a step back on and reevaluate your life and your routine and your priorities. Number five, and that is to follow the sunnah. So in our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he is the perfect example. So follow him and you won't go wrong. Because you have to remember, you know, he is the most loved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he is human just like us. Obviously, the best type of human. And it's really important to understand that, you know, even in his era, like, there were people who, there were so many disbelievers. You know, there's so many idol worshippers. He had to face so many difficult people out there, and he had to come across, you know, so many people that he needed to help out. You know, he was amazing with women, he was amazing with his companions, he was amazing with the men, children, and he came across people's desires and people's wants and needs, and he obviously told people the best way to go about a certain action. You know, for example, there are so many different examples out there that you can see. There are so many stories out there where there are, you know, people in his time who had this conflicting decision to make, and obviously Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them to do that deed or something in the correct manner, or to do an action in the correct manner, or even to stray away from a haram action. You know, he was very knowledgeable. So again, follow the sunnah. And a lot of people actually, and to be honest, I was one of them as well, misinterpret what the sunnah is. So the sunnah is acts of worship that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu wasallam did in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was permissible, that helped him in his acts of worship and when it came to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people just think it's whatever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu wasallam did that is sunnah, even though it kind of is to some extent. But you have to remember, the sunnah specifically talks about what brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he did that was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, he is human just like us, obviously the best human out there, but he was still human. So obviously we can follow, even if it's like, obviously we can never be like him, but even if it's just like the tiniest amount of goodness that we can gain by following what he did, honestly, it would be so life-changing. For example, we might have this habit of accusing someone falsely, or listening to rumours or spreading them, or even just, like I said, just listening to them, being present. But then when you look at our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha, when, you know, there were accusations about her chaste, people were spreading rumours, you know, all the disbelievers were spreading rumours about her, and those rumours actually reached Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even though he heard those rumours about his wife committing, you know, acts of zina, like she was falsely accused, okay, even though those rumours reached to him, he didn't say a word. He didn't spread them. He remained silent. He was a very level-headed man. And that's already something beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't spreading false information around, because he was a true believer. And when obviously he confronted Aisha radiallahu anha, he was very level-headed. He didn't scream or shout at her. He didn't belittle her in any way. All he said to her was, if you did commit it, then seek forgiveness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, anybody, any one of us, if that happened to us, we would be screaming. We would, you know, there are some people who, some women unfortunately are, you know, accused for committing zina or things like that, something haram, and their husbands will beat them up for it. Like, that's what I'm saying. Follow the characteristics of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you follow the characteristics and his traits and implement it into your character and make it a target, something that you can reach and work on, then you have to remember that is something beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will love that. Allah will love that you're following his, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's footsteps, and that you are, you know, that's your best role model for you. Number 6, and that is to think of positive and negative effect of every action. And I did just talk about it sort of earlier, but for example, with your 5 daily prayers, the benefits from physical to psychological bring serenity and a tranquil effect even beyond the prayers. But for example, if you are delaying or missing your prayers due to laziness and the fact that you might be busy, this can actually bring about guilt and a feeling of a burden and regret. And, you know, you'll eventually start to make excuses for not praying. And then obviously, as you know, that's just going to lead to you not being self-aware of your actions or thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to that, you're also going to find it acceptable to commit other sins, because obviously salah is our number one priority in this dunya. You know, it's a big sin if we don't commit to, you know, performing our acts of salah, our daily worship every single day, our 5 daily prayers. So again, if you miss out on your daily prayers, yes, you might be a good person and everything, but slowly, you never know, Allah knows best, but slowly you could actually end up committing smaller sins. Okay, because remember, salah is there. Allah doesn't need us to worship him. You know, he doesn't need our worship. Allah is self-sufficient. Allah does not need us. Okay, we need him because we're not self-sufficient. You know, we're definitely not self-sufficient because we need to, you know, live off food and water in order to keep our bodies alive. Allah doesn't need that. Allah is truly self-sufficient. But us, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if we have focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really helps us in terms of our mental health, our physical health. We are more mindful of Allah, we are more mindful of our actions, because we think about whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. And again, that's the whole thing. So when it comes to you know, having that potential to commit a sin, evaluate the benefits and evaluate the disadvantages. So obviously with any sin, there will always be more disadvantage or just no benefit at all. Once you realize that, it will help you stay away from it. And you, as humans, our emotions change. So when it comes to us wanting to commit a sin, we don't think about anything else apart from that sin. We only just see that this sin is going to bring us, you know, so much, you know, adrenaline. It's going to bring us this drive. It's going to make us happy. It's going to make us feel a certain type of feeling. But our emotions change as humans. And if you stop yourself, yeah, you might stop yourself and think, oh, I'm going to miss out on this. By the way, I'm putting this in quotation marks, fun. But you know, give yourself an hour, maybe a couple of hours, you're going to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for stopping you from committing that sin. Because your emotions, you'll then eventually come back to your senses, and then you're going to realize, actually, you know what, alhamdulillah, I didn't commit that sin, because I feel so much better. Again, because you're trying, next time when you come across a sin, it's going to get easier, inshallah. Number 7, and that is to use your time wisely. So assess your time and accompanying needs and try to keep positively busy with rewarding acts of worship or just any good deed out there, okay? Any good deed for the sake of Allah is indeed an act of worship. So do something for the ummah without expecting anything back and make it an investment for your hereafter. So that's something that I'm working on, and I know that a lot of sisters around me, that is something that they're working on. We're trying to commit as many good deeds as we can in order for, you know, our akhirah, like, to be amazing, inshallah. Like, we are doing all of these good deeds, and remember, like, what is more beneficial, you expecting something back from people for your good deeds, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recording them, you know? Like, what's actually better? Of course, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recording them. And you have to remember, humans are so flawed. There are some humans who won't acknowledge your hard work or your good deed that you've done for them, but you shouldn't live for people. You know your purpose, and that is to please Allah. And Allah will see that. Even days where you might find it difficult to have that motivation to maybe get up and do some charity work, for example, you need to have that idea in the back of your mind. Oh, Allah, I'm going to do this for Allah. You know, I'm going to do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust me, when you do stuff for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you struggle in the cause of Him, Allah will reward you more than you can imagine. Number 8, and that is to keep good company. And I actually talk about good company a lot in all of my podcast episodes, but keeping good company is important because, you know, mind your environment and those you choose to stay around. Choose those who can help guard your deen. And it's really important that if you, you know, when you have good friends who really motivate you to do better on your deen, not only does it, you know, allow you to have a really good relationship with them, but you're friends with them for the sake of Allah. Like, you want to see your friends in Jannah if you really care for them. And that's another thing. Again, I've spoken about it in, like, my friendship episodes that I've done with my friend. And obviously, you can listen to it on my podcast. But it's so important to have good friends in your life, because if you don't have good friends, sometimes you might not have that reminder or that boost you need to stray away from a sin. For example, think about how many of us, you know, wanted to do a sin, but our friends have stopped us, or Allah has sent somebody in our environment to stop us from doing that sin. I know that's happened to me multiple times, and I'm so ever so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me such good friends or just good people in my life, even if I'm not that close to them, that have helped me stop myself from sinning. You know, it doesn't need to be friends, but for example, your Instagram, your TikTok, make sure that it's fueled with, you know, goodness and richness in your deen and richness in reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No point in following, you know, influencers who actually have no benefit to you. If they're just doing dancing and, you know, singing or whatever, what benefit does that actually give to you? If I'm honest, that's just going to drive you to commit sin more than do any good deed. Or might not even cause you to sin, but it's not going to increase your good deeds. So again, by flushing out anything toxic on your social media, when I say toxic, I'm not talking about, you know, just like anybody that's just not going to benefit you on your deen, or that's like nasty or horrible, but I'm talking about people that just like, why are they there? Like, you have to really reflect on your social media, because we have our own lives on social media. Social media, you know, this world at this point can't actually function without people going on their phones. So again, whatever's on our phones, we need to make sure that it's Islamically centered and it's Islamically orientated, so that we can constantly be reminded. Because it all it could take is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing this Islamic reminder to pop up on your screen to stop you from doing a sin. Trust me, it has happened to me multiple times. So I can actually say this, like, it has worked, subhanAllah. So honestly, times like this, you just need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing you to have those good people in your life that can help you, you know, try your best to get to Jannah, inshallah, but also, you know, be there for you and allow you to, you know, develop your bond and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9, and actually I think I should have put this as the first point, but purify your acts through your intention. So renew them as often as you can. It's really important that we renew our intentions. We can set the intention, but what tends to happen is when we set an intention, we might actually forget about it. So we need to, you know, get into that habit of trying to renew them as much as we can. I actually have an episode where I talk about how to renew your intentions. It's one of the first episodes I actually did on this podcast, so please do check it out. But yeah, so, you know, we need to renew them as often as we can, centered on Allah's pleasure and to earn paradise, inshallah. And you have to ask yourself this question, like, isn't paradise and its wonders enough motivation to give up the instant gratifications for? Like, you have to realize that, think of Jannah. Like, obviously it's unimaginable, like, we don't even know what Jannah looks like, subhanAllah, but we know that it's better than anything and everything combined. Like, it is so beautiful. We haven't seen it, but come on, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, Allah, have you seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dunya? Like, that's beautiful itself. Imagine the akhirah. That should actually be enough motivation to kind of give up things. So again, make your intention, you know, it's really important that you have that intention, but also you work for that intention as well, inshallah. Number 10, and that is to make dua. So making supplications for a sound and pure heart. So one that is filled with Allah's love, but yearns for even more of Allah's love. So obviously we want a heart that's filled with Allah's love, but we want a heart that is literally wanting Allah's love. Like, you want to keep striving for it. You might have so much, like, you know, you might have so much of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't want to stop there. You want to keep going. You want to strive for it, inshallah. The heart can only become sound, achieve success and take pleasure, you know, be satisfied, experience enjoyment, become pleased, attain serenity and calmness through acts of ibadah, so acts of worship of our Lord. So having love for him and turning to him in repentance, even if it were to attain every type of pleasure from creation, you know, it will not acquire serenity or tranquility. This is because the heart possesses a certain need for Allah, since he is, you know, its deity, love and pursuit. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the heart achieves joy. Our hearts will achieve pleasure, delight and serenity, tranquility, you know. So again, you just have to make dua. We have to keep yearning for Allah. And that is the best way. It links with the whole intention aspect. You know, when you have that intention, make dua, keep renewing your intention, make dua to Allah that Allah makes it easy for you, and watch how things unfold. You know, you might actually, again, Allah does not leave any duas unanswered. Okay, he is shy to turn our du'as away. Any du'a that we make, he will answer, whether that's today or tomorrow, whether that's in a different form, whether that's a du'a for the hereafter, you never know. Okay, so again, making du'a is exercising your intentions and you're renewing it in that form. Okay, that's pretty much it for this podcast, but I really, you know, pray inshallah that you all enjoyed this. I really had fun making it because it's a big reminder to myself, and, you know, like, that's what I mean, like, when you do so much research, you actually understand and find different ways to kind of help you, you know, understand these things and help you better yourself and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I really pray you girls enjoy this podcast, inshallah, and I'll see you in the next episode, inshallah. Take care and assalamu alaikum.